And as we start this morning, the word semaphore, does that mean anything to anyone? Does the semaphore, is that, do you understand what that word, or do you have the definition of the word semaphore? Semaphore, push the button, please. Semaphore, yeah, I hear, see somebody back in the back. And semaphore, you have a set of these, right? Semaphore would be, and maybe they're different colors, I don't know. This is what I found, that semaphore flags are red and yellow. And the semaphore flags are used for this. You can push the next button. The semaphore flags are a system of sending messages by holding two flags in certain positions according to the alphabetic code. So you can see, if you can see the person, they can spell out or communicate to you what they're endeavoring to communicate. And I've watched even some YouTube videos of this going on. You'd have to be a better speller than I am. I get that, because I would be causing havoc on the other end. You would need to know how to spell if you're going to do this. And you would need to know how to move quickly. This is not something that you spend years and try to figure it out while the guy stands here for 30 minutes. But the whole alphabet is a series of how you move the flags and what the position that you hold the flags, that you can communicate to someone else. Semaphore. Often used in the military, I would assume on boating. I would see. I see a lot of the Boy Scouts online were committed to helping the Scouts understand semaphore. Well, semaphore, in 1958, a guy named Gerald Holtham, and he was on a committee, the British committee, campaign for nuclear disarmament. That was his. He was on this committee, and they were journeying to get to be disarmed in the nuclear way around the world. And so they were trying to endeavor to find a way that they could communicate that we need to have nuclear disarmament. And so they took as they navigated through, they took the semaphore, different semaphore, first letters of nuclear, which would have been the N, right? The N is the nuclear, N for nuclear, and then straight up and straight down would be the D for disarmament. So they took the N, and they took the D, and they started to work with those two things. Here's the N, the nuclear disarmament, and the D would be straight up and straight down. That was to say, we need nuclear disarmament. So they began to play with that symbol just a little bit. And the next one we can see, here it is. They put it inside of a circle, each one, the N and the D inside of circles. And then they married those two circles together, thus coming up with this. The sign that we say for peace is really nuclear disarmament. They thought that if we could get rid of the nuclear devices around the world, that we could have peace. Now that sign, that symbol has come to mean many things throughout the years, and many false tales about it, about being something upside down or something broken. Really, it is the N and the D. Endeavoring to get nuclear disarmament. If we can just get rid of the nuclear devices around the world, there would be peace. I have a problem with that. I don't think that peace is the absence of something. I think peace is the presence of something. We can't only hope to get rid of something to get peace. If I could just get rid of these screaming the kids or these bawling cows or whatever, I could have. You can't just void your life of something and expect peace to take over. Peace is the presence of something. The Bible is clear that peace cannot be realized with just the absence of something. It takes the presence of something for us to realize peace in its true form. Do not try to give your own definition to peace. God has already defined peace. And it's not only the absence of something, it is the presence of something. And God says, I want you to have peace. Don't think you can just rid things from your life and peace will be, if I could just get rid of that X, if I could just get rid of that, if I could just get rid of Facebook, if I could just get rid of this or that or another thing, my life would be realized, my peace of my life would be realized. That's not true. Peace is the presence of something. And Colossians tells us this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. He says you need to let the peace of Christ rule inside of your hearts. You were called to peace. All of us were called to peace. And there's not going to be peace unless the peace of Christ rules in our hearts. We have to have the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts before there are going to be horizontal peace, before there would be world peace, before there's family peace. We have enough family disruption in this world. Amen. I would like just to work on families before we work on the world. He said there's going to be peace, and there's going to be peace horizontally in your relationships with one another. There's got to be peace in your heart. There's got to be the peace of Christ has to take up residency in your hearts. Because without the presence of Christ and the peace of Christ, there's going to be no horizontal peace. Oh, we might deal with each other. We may put up with each other, and we may keep each other in separate corners of the world. But peace does not come from the absence of something. It comes from the presence of Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I'll probably end up singing that before we're done. And it says, let this peace of Christ, let it do it. Let it do what it wants to do in your lives. Let it do, as I look in the mirror, let it do what it wants to do in your life. Let it. I'm not going to force it. God says, I'm not going to force it into your lives. Let it do what it needs to do. It'll do the miraculous. But you've got to let it do it. God's not going to strangle you into the corner until you let it happen. But he's offering it. He's inviting us to let this do it in your life, what it wants to do. Let the peace of Christ rule. Let it. It is a reality. It can rule in my heart, and it may not rule in my heart. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. But I don't think we can expect horizontal peace until we have the peace of Christ ruling inside of us. I got to ask it a couple. Am I making sense this morning? Don't you just think, I could just end right there and just God just offers that to you and me. We're not talking just about your everyday, normal, small letter P, peace. We're talking about the peace of Christ. We're going to unpack that a little bit this morning. Not just your run-of-the-mill peace, the peace of Christ. He's inviting you and me to let that do something in our lives, that God wants to do something in our lives. So let it happen, he said. Let it happen. Invitation. But don't expect peace if we don't let it happen. Sometimes in my life, I want to do what I want to do, and I want God to give me what I want from him. And God says that just, I've invited you and invited you and invited you. I've invited you to walk close to me. I've invited you to let this rule in your heart. I've invited you. I've invited you and I've invited you. Take me up on my invitation and watch what I can do in your life. So let the peace of Christ, let the peace of Christ, the harmony, the unity. Peace means harmony, unity, security, safety, prosperity, happiness, assurance, and favor. Now, just so you know, that's all Jesus's. He has that. That's all his. He owns all those things. It's not just small letter P, peace. It is the peace of Christ. So he owns those things. He owns harmony with God. He owns unity. He owns security. He owns safety. He owns prosperity. Why? Because he bought them. Because he went to the cross for them. Because he endured the shame. Because he carried the sins of the world. And he ends up and he owns those things. And he owns happiness. And he owns assurance. And he owns favor. And God's saying, why don't you let him bring his harmony, his unity, his security, his safety, his prosperity, his happiness, his assurance, and his favor in your hearts and let it roll. Woo! Look at what he says in John 14, 27. Peace I leave you. And he's talking to his disciples. My peace I give you. He doesn't say, go figure out how to get peace in this world. I've already done that, he says. And I'm going to leave it with you. I'm going to give you my peace that I earned, that I paid for. Because I want it for you in your life. Number one, you couldn't afford it. Number two, you didn't even know you needed it. Because you were so lost, you didn't know you needed God. And so Jesus says, I know you need God, so let me step into their world. Let me buy this, and then let me offer it to them. Isn't that amazing? That just blows me away that God would do that. And then say, it's on the menu, order it. And let it do what it wants to do in your life. Will you stop striving for peace and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts? Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do you know that Jesus is at peace with the Father? Do you know that Jesus is at peace with the Father? Look what it says in Matthew. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my Son who I love. With him I am well pleased. Do you know that Jesus is at peace with the Father? Jesus owns the harmony with God. Jesus owns the favor with God. Jesus owns the assurance with God. And he says, I want to give it to you. And maybe, no, and I believe we will begin to hear things like well done, or push the button, please. Jesus is at peace with the Father. Jesus is willing to bring us in on his side. Thus, being at peace with God. That's got to make sense. Jesus says, I own it, I bought it, and I want to give it to you. And I want to give it to you and you. I want to bring it into your life so that you can have peace with God. So that you can be at peace with God. Because when the peace of God, you're at peace with God, starts to rule in your life, watch out. It's going to do the miraculous in your lives, in my life, in our lives. It'll do the miraculous. Thus, this is my child, and I believe we begin to hear, because we have the peace of Christ beginning to rule in our life, I think we begin to hear, this is my child. I believe we see heaven open up. And I think we see the Spirit of God descend on us, and we hear the Father, that's my daughter. I love her, and I am pleased with her. Because why? Because Jesus has given his peace to her. You need to let that, he said, rule in your heart. Just the statement that God loves you, and God is pleased with you. Because Jesus has given it to you and to me. He wants us to have that assurance in Christ. He said, I want that to rule in your heart. Let the truth that God is at peace with you rule in your heart. Will you stop when we're in Christ? Will I stop thinking God is at war with me? God is not at war with you. In Christ, God is at peace with you. Every time I think maybe I ought to quiet down a little bit. I just can't. I just can't. I can't do it. Because I was thinking, who am I? Who am I that I wouldn't even get the invitation? Even the ability to let the peace of Christ, that something was bought on the cross to rule my life. So what is the peace of Christ? It's the embracing. What is it? Let the peace of Christ. It is the embracing of God's acceptance and favor in your life. He said, I want you to hang on. I want this to be in your heart. We continue in the passage. We continue in the passage. He says this. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And all of a sudden, that starts ruling in your heart that you are a child of God. Why does that come? Just so we know, just so I know, so I can say it out loud. It's because the peace of Christ brings that to you. The peace of Christ owns your adoption papers. Christ owns your adoption papers. And he's ready. He said, let me sign the adoption papers with you. Let me transform you from dead to living. From not a child of God to a child of God. Again, let me say this. Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. So it doesn't matter if you're a good person. Number one, you ate. Number two, it has nothing to do with what Jesus is doing. Whether you're good or bad, it has nothing to do with what Jesus is doing. You're dead without Jesus. And with Jesus, you are alive. Not only are you alive, you are a child of God. He said, that needs to start ruling in your hearts, church. Amen. Let me just throw a few more out there to you this morning. Push the button. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son. He loves in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. You were brought from the darkness. That's part of the peace of Christ. You've been brought out of the darkness. You've been brought into the kingdom. You are redeemed and you are forgiven. Are you with me this morning? You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are in the kingdom. You are out of the darkness. You are a child of God. He said, no, you don't need to let that start ruling your hearts. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Where? Peace with God through what? Through who? Through who? The Lord Jesus Christ. There ain't no Lord Jesus Christ, there ain't no peace. It is the presence of what Jesus is and who he is and what he's done that brings peace into our lives. He said, you have been justified through faith. We have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We rejoice in the hope of glory, the glory of God. Just so you know, you're standing in God's grace way up over your head. You've been brought, you are a child of God. You are rescued from the darkness. You have been brought into the kingdom. You are redeemed. You are forgiven. And you are standing in Christ. That's the peace of Jesus. That's just the tip of the iceberg of the peace of Jesus. Let's just go with that. We could preach all week on who you are in Christ. He said, I need that to rule. Let that. I'm inviting you to let that rule in your hearts. Colossians 3:15 again says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Rule. I love the word rule. Rule is the same word we can umpire from. Let that peace umpire your life. Make the calls. Will you let that make the calls? Let the peace of Christ. I'm inviting you to let the peace of Christ make the calls in your life. And then maybe we will finally start saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Because when the peace of Christ is ruling and I know who I am in Christ and all of a sudden that starts to make the calls in my life, then that verse makes sense. It's not just something on a t-shirt. in your hearts. Above all else, Proverbs said, guard your hearts, for it is the wellspring of life. So here it is. Here's the invitation. You'll never have horizontal peace, he said. You can take all the stuff out of this world that you want until Jesus comes into this world, until Jesus comes into your family, until Jesus comes into your heart. There will be no peace. So here we go. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Easier said than done. Would you give me just a few more minutes just to unpack that? Easier said than done. I have it written here. No problem. ... Right? Question mark? And I think I could take a poll right here, and I would hope that in the high 90%, we would all say, I want that in my life. But wanting it in our life, what's going on? Why is it in our life? Why is it not making the calls in our life all the time? Listen to what Reverend Joseph XL wrote in the late 1800s, 130 years ago. A Christian's faith and hope are assailed by 1,000 enemies. Sometimes amid the common incidents of life. Sometimes in the heavenly places of his richest experience and most exalted communion with spiritual things. Sometimes brought about by open and palpable causes. Sometimes by strange influences shadowing the inner life and coming we know not whence or how. Sometimes through the ruggedness of gloom and of his providential path. Sometimes through mental perplexities and the chilling and confusing intellectual atmosphere around him. In any or all of these ways, the trial of his faith comes in one shape or another to every man who has faith worth trial. And then, whatever be the form which the assault takes or corner from which it is directed, he may find in the peace of Christ his high tower of defense and harbor of refuge. Do you see what he's saying? No wonder the enemy would like to keep us out of that. No wonder, because he would want us to go down with the battles. No wonder the empowerment comes. Let it rain, God, let it rain. I want a dome someday. Just open it up when it's raining like this. See, God, I just think God sometimes said, man, I'm knocking at your door. Let me reign in your hearts. I am knocking. I'm knocking. I'm knocking. I'm knocking. Will you let me do what I want to do? Will you let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts? You're going to be assaulted. You're going to be assailed. The enemy's going to send one thing after another to get you off your game. His difficulties may not disappear under this influence. His doubts may not be once dispelled. The conflict may still rage fiercely around and within him. But he will be kept. He will be kept. Your storm may not go away, but you will be kept. The fortress of his heart will not surrender. There is power in the peace of Christ. He said, I want the power of Christ. I want the peace of Christ to rule in your heart. Let it. Just let it. There are many things competing for the rule of our hearts. We can't leave now because it's raining anyway, and we don't have... That's right. Y'all didn't bring enough umbrellas to get y'all to the car anyway. Yeah. Tobin's on the motorcycle, so if somebody could ride beside him with an umbrella, he'd appreciate that. Can I just throw out a few ideas of the things that are trying to compete for the rule of your hearts? And sometimes working. And in Proverbs it says this. There are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him. And I pondered that this week. Why does God hate them? And I think that because they take up the rule of our hearts. and they take God's position, the peace of Jesus' position in our hearts, and they cause us to run over the cliff. He said, this is one thing I hate. I hate this. He said, I hate haughty eyes. I hate pride, and I hate arrogance, and I hate self-importance. Pride is competing for the rule, for heart rule. Pride is competing for heart rule. God says, I want the peace of Christ to rule in your heart, man. I want it to rule in your heart. But I'm telling you what, pride is knocking on your door every single day. Can I rule your heart? See, it has to ask too. We have to give it permission. It can't ramrod into our hearts. But that heart position for ruling your life is designed for the peace of Jesus, not for the pride of mankind. The pride, when pride is making the calls, the heart says, I do not need to be a child of God. I do not need to be rescued. I do not need to be brought into the kingdom. I do not need to be redeemed. I do not need to be forgiven. I do not need to be standing in grace. I'm good. I can do the things I want to do and be okay. See where pride leads you? Pride's going to lead you right over the cliff. But it's knocking on your door. It wants to lead your heart. It wants to rule your life. It really, really, really does. It goes on to say in Proverbs, it goes on to say this, a lying tongue. God says, man, I hate a lying tongue. I hate a lying tongue. A lie will definitely set up root in our hearts and begin to rule. Some of us have believed a lie, and all of a sudden our lives are being altered by the lie we've believed. A lie will take up root in your heart, and it'll start making the calls, and it'll start leading from the throne room that Jesus' peace wants to lead from in your hearts. It'll start making the calls in your life. The lies will start making the calls in your life, and it'll convince you of something that is not truth. It'll convince you of something that is not truth. And it'll start making the calls, and you'll start making and altering your life by according to that lie. Are you with me this morning? It will do that in your life. It'll do that in your life. Then all of a sudden, I don't know how I've ended up here because we've done our GPS with a lie in it, and it pointed us in the wrong direction. He said, it'll ask. That lie will ask. That lie will get down deep. That lie will get down deep, and it'll start making the calls in your life. Don't let it make the calls in your life. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And then the truth is this. The truth is you are a child of God. You are rescued from the darkness. You are brought into the kingdom. You are redeemed. You are forgiven. You are standing in God's grace. That needs to begin to rule and continue to rule my heart. So my decisions are coming from that truth, not some lie that I was told. Or some lie I've embraced, or something this world's told me. Who is the world to tell me anything? God is my creator. God is my designer. I am knitted together by God. He knows who I am. He knows the inner workings of who I am. He needs to make the calls in my life, and that comes through the peace of Jesus. Am I making sense? I'm almost done. Still raining, though. He said, I hate hands that shed innocent blood. I hate unhealthy anger. A heart that is ruled by anger is toxic. You got anger issues? So let me be honest with you. It's not who you're designed to be. Stop believing the lie, it's just who I am. Stop believing the lie, it's just who I am. Stop believing the lie, my dad was angry, my grandfather was angry, therefore I'm destined to be angry. Hogwash! That anger is knocking on your door too. Say, let me roll! Oh, baby, I can get things done! Oh, if you just let me in your heart, if you just let me rule the situation, you just let me make the calls, you will be able to throw a desk clear across the room over your children's head and stick it in the wall on the other side, that you have to go and extract it out of the wall on the other side of the living room. That's what happened in my life one time when anger was making the call. And then I looked down at a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old looking up at their dad and in total fear of their dad. Anger will make the calls. But they're making a call from the throne room where Jesus' peace is supposed to be making the calls. I said, I hate it when anger gets in there. I hate it when anger gets in there and starts making the calls, because he becomes really toxic to the horizontal relationships around him. If you got anger, if you got a lie, if you got pride, the antidote to that is to confess it. Confess it to another person. Said, I got an anger issue, and today no longer. Today, no longer. I'm going to set a journey today, and the peace of Christ will rule my heart today. And God goes on, he said, man, I hate a heart that it devises wicked schemes. Corruption is vying for space in your hearts. And in our hearts, it's vying for space in my heart. Those who devise wicked schemes. The enemy is the corrupter of what's been created. And God says, I've given you an amazing mind. I'm just amazed just at the telephone in my lifetime. The computer that you had to have a forklift to get into something that now is in my phone, only 1,000 times faster. The minds of humanity are amazing. God says, I have given you an amazing mind and ability, and you're using it! Because corruption is in your life, now you're using it to manipulate and control people! I'm telling you what, when corruption is running us and we're devising wicked plans, how to get back at somebody, how to remember what they did in the past so that I can get back at them, you're wasting the God-given ability. And he said, that is wasted. He said, when the peace of Christ rules in your heart, you won't waste that. Your minds will be able to be set free in Christ. He continues in the passage, feet that are quick to rush into evil. And I call this a recklessness and thoughtlessness of life. One of the things I kind of get a kick out of doing is going down the hills and not touching the brakes too much. Just kind of, Cheryl always says, you're careening down the hill. Once she explained to me what that meant, I had to agree with her. That I was careening down a hill. He said, I'm telling you what, there are people who are careening through life. And they're so quick, just do it, push the button. They'll just do it. If it feels good, do it. Do whatever you want. In white, it says, there seems to be no consideration of the ramifications of my actions. I'm just going to do what pleases me. To heck with everybody else. Just so you know, that's not the peace of Christ ruling in your hearts. That's this ruling in your hearts. That's recklessness and thoughtlessness ruling in your hearts and in my heart. Finishes up with 9. It says, a false witness who pours out lies and a man who stirs up dissension among his brothers. No wonder when anger is running it, when the devising of wicked schemes is running it. Can you imagine? Wouldn't that produce some sort of chaos among us? This is this, and I ask this question, is this what I look like when the peace of Christ does not rule in my heart? One more slide. I'm gonna propose this. There's the new peace sign. It's the two semaphore letters, JC, married together and put in a circle. I don't know if the nuclear war or nuclear stuff will ever leave this world, but Jesus is in this world. Amen. And he's offering for you and me to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. But it's up to you and me. Stand with me today. God, I thank you for these moments together. I thank you for how you rain down on us. And Father, as I know that that rain waters my garden and waters the crops and waters the trees, the rain of heaven waters me and waters us. Father, I pray that you would find a whole collection of people here today, whether this is the only time they'll be here or they'll be here every single week the rest of 2019. I pray that you would find a collection of people that would say, I want it, Jesus, I want it. I'm going to let the peace of Christ rule, make the calls in my life. I am done letting pride, I am done letting anger, I am done letting corruption, I am done letting sin, I am done letting those things make the calls in my life. Father, may you also hear a heart, a collection of hearts saying that same thing.
Turn your eyes.
Sing it, New Life. Do it. God, help us do it. Thank you for that truth. Thank you for that truth. In the light of your glory and grace. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for these moments together. Thank you for that, even that reality that I can turn my eyes toward Jesus. I can look full in his wonderful face. And the things will, the anger will, the corruption will, the pride will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Father, help us. Jesus, thank you for the peace that you're offering to me to rule, to make the calls in my heart. Father, thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.